Welcome to VIP of the Month Spotlight for April 29th, 2019, with our host, Teresa Rose.
Welcome, everyone, to our VIP of the Month Spotlight for the month of April. And I am so proud to tell you that the VIP of the month is our own Verlyn Baldwin, which is from Texas, and that is why the intro. Welcome, everyone, and we're glad to see you here tonight. And I would like to introduce Verlyn to you. Tonight, we have Verlyn Baldwin. She was born February 27th, 1959. She lives in Denton, Texas. Welcome, Verlyn, and congratulations on being VIP of the month for the month of April.
Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for coming. This is really an honor, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we're going to get started. We're going to start out with when you were born, Verlyn. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised.
I was, the hospital was in Linwood, California, but we lived in Bellflower, which is about a half hour from Knott's Berry Farm in California. And I lived there for 5 years. We moved in the middle of my kindergarten year. So I was the first child of two at that time. And my mom tells me we had a standard poodle, which I do not remember. But later I got a little miniature dachshund that I still have very fond memories of. My father built a playhouse in the backyard and also water wheel, where the water dumps into the pockets and it spins around, and a picnic table for a covered patio in our backyard. So he's quite a talented man. And that's about all I can say right now.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your parents and your siblings, Verlyn.
Okay, Dad is a currently retired L.A. County firefighter, and he's the one they call an engineer who drives the rig and adjusts the pressure of the water in the hoses, etc. Now, my mom, biological mother, her name is Lynn, and Marilyn, and that's where I get the tail end of my name from. My father went by Vernie, his middle name, because both he and his father had the name of Clarence. So Vernie and Marilyn are how my name came about. And unfortunately, my mother decided to leave when I was five, and we're still very close. She has late stage Alzheimer's. So she's at a point as of recently where she doesn't know who I am. And then when I was eight, Dad remarried. And so there was my brother and I, and then my new mom had a boy and a girl also. And it's kind of funny. My brother's name is Craig, and my stepbrother's name is Greg, and they literally are 1 week apart. So that's an interesting story in itself.
Wow, it seems very interesting, definitely, to be their names so close and to be 1 week apart. Are you and your siblings very close, Verlyn?
I like to think that we're close. We don't talk to each other a whole lot. We're all very busy in our own doings, but we get together as a group on a rare occasion, and when we do, we all get along very well and have a great time.
And what about your parents? Do they live locally near you, or do they still live in California?
Mom and Dad live in San Diego, and mom, Lynn. She lives up north near Oakland, California.
So quite a ways away for sure. What about your siblings? Are they located close to you, or are they far away as well?
Nope, I am the only one in Texas. Kimberly and her family live about 10 minutes from mom and dad in San Diego, and Craig lives approximately 2 hours from where mom Lynn is up north. And then I have a brother, Greg, who lives in Alaska as of recently with his wife.
Oh, wow, they're scattered to the winds, as we would say. Okay, Verlin, tell us about your eye condition. What type of eye condition do you have?
I have been told I have retinitis pigmentosa. I had 20/20 vision till I was approximately 28, 29, and 5 years later, it had gradually diminished to nothing. So the last time I had any light perception was in 1995. Doesn't run in the family, so scratching our head over that one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've got it. We can't find it in our family, so it's a recessive gene. It can go back centuries. And I as well was blinded from it later in life. So you definitely did not go to the blind school. So you went through a regular school because you weren't affected until your adult with any type of vision loss. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, let's still talk a little bit about your school from elementary all the way through high school. Tell us a little bit about your education from elementary to high school.
Okay. I went to a kindergarten school, then I went to a different school for first grade and part of second grade. Then that school, I was there till sixth grade, and then I went to a different school for seventh grade. We moved, and I went to another school for eighth grade, and then my high school for the last four. And up through the middle of seventh and eighth, we lived in La Mirada, which again is very close to Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland. And then the high school and eighth grade years were in the mountains in Lake Arrowhead, California. So our high school was called Rim of the World.
What an interesting name for a high school. Well, tell us, were you involved in clubs, sports, music? What type of activities were you involved in?
In high school, I was on the drill team for a couple of years. I was in the drama club, the speech club, AFS, which I never got to leave the country, but did have a guest in our home for a couple of weeks. And let's see, I did get to go to another person's school for a few days in Los Angeles. So that was my big whoopee-doo for that club. I took first place in one of the divisions of a regional contest, in the speech contest, and was very involved in home economics and took first place in our county citrus pie and cake bake contest. Oh, that's kind of the way I was. And I was not real popular. I was our junior year treasurer and over the a lot of the prom preparations, and I was on the yearbook staff. So I was active, but not social, if that makes sense at all. Didn't have a lot of friends.
No music? You weren't in band or anything like that? Played a musical instrument?
No, darn it anyway. that would have been nice, but I really don't have any musical talent.
Verlin, in all of your, from grade one all the way through high school, if any teacher made a lasting impact on your life, who was he or she, and what impact did they leave?
I've been thinking about that, and that would have been my second grade teacher, when the second one, the second grade teacher, that sounds funny. And I think she made a big impact because it was a pretty traumatic time in my life. You know, we had combined families joining each other, stress and things like that, new environment to adjust to. And she just handled that so well and made me feel welcome. I remember on the bulletin board all along one wall were trees with squirrels in them, and each squirrel was holding a sign that had words that we use like thank you and please. So that's what I remember most. And my big jumbo crayon box, I remember that too.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Well, let's go up a little bit to high school. You talked a little bit about your high school, and you said you were over the prom and you were a treasurer. Tell us a little bit about what you did for the preparation of the prom.
I had to hire the band, and if that wasn't difficult, trying to figure out who to get and how to get them and all of that. They had one song that was very popular on the radio, and I'll be darned if I can remember what it was, but they turned out to be a horrible band. Because our high school was up in the mountains, we had prom down below in Riverside Valley at a kind of a high-end country club kind of a place. But I also was in charge of gathering nominations for king and queen from the high school instructors. And then I also purchased the crowns and whatnot, tiara, and awarded those. And I kissed the king when I put his crown on his head. That was a big deal for me because I'm just kind of embarrassed about stuff like that. But it was a chore. It was a job, and I didn't really feel like I got a lot of support in putting that all together. But we did it and pulled it off.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome. Did you attend your prom?
I was dating a gentleman who had graduated 1 year before I entered high school. So we had like 8 years in a row of yearbooks. And I begged him to go with me. So he was my date. And we had a pretty good time.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's move a little bit further. Tell us about your extended education after high school, Verlyn.
Well, I didn't actually go to college till I was 27, and I decided that I wanted to get a degree as a dietetic technician in a 2-year community college that was near my home. And the director of that program retired we were on the quarter system, prior to my finishing all my coursework. And I didn't know it, but my eyesight was getting worse, and I thought I just needed glasses. But the person that kind of filled in for her, she didn't really know what to do about that one class. So she said, here, read this book and do a book report. Well, that seems easy enough. But I didn't do it because it was hard to read. And also, I had been taking some classes that were kind of like on-site classes, and realized that as a dietetic technician, I would be needing to interpret these scribbles in the notes the doctors had left about the patient's diets. And the other thing that was deterring me from that degree was that the people that fill the trays, I don't know how many of you remember, we had hospital trays with these little metal holders with the diet cards on them. And I would watch these employees that were filling the trays, put things on those trays that shouldn't have been on there, like salt and sugar and whatnot. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if a patient dies? It'll be my fault because I'm supervising these people. And there was just too much to do in the kitchen to be watching over their shoulder the whole time. So things like that kind of got me scared, and I didn't want to be responsible for somebody's death. But all of my classes transferred over to restaurant management, and so I kind of pursued both of those lines. I was a diet counselor for Nutrisystems for a while, and I worked for Nordstrom's Cafe as a manager, and so anyway, various school districts in their cafeterias, etc.
So basically, you went into the next question I have is, tell us about your career up until now. So you've highlighted on that. Does that pretty much touch your career up until now, Verlin, or have you had other careers?
Yeah, I hesitate in using the word career because I never really stayed with anything for a long period of time. I was a dog groomer for a while, and but after I lost my vision, I leaned towards any kind of receptionist work. So the last mission that I had that I really, really enjoyed was for the State School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. In the state of Utah, I was front desk receptionist, and I greatly enjoyed that job.
Okay, Verlin, tell us a little bit about, just a moment. Tell us, ever been married, kids, grandkids?
Yes, I have been married, and I have two children. I have a daughter who's 41, and she lives in the Salt Lake Valley. And I have a son who's married and has three boys, so I have three grandsons, and they live up near Seattle. And I don't get to see him very much, but we do talk and love each other.
Let's step back just a few minutes and talk about what are the things that you found the most difficult in your life to deal with after you started losing your sight at such a late age.
I'd have to think a minute on that one. Difficult. I would say transportation. Where I lived at the time didn't have the greatest of transportation. But I feel very strongly that God has watched over me. And as I look back, all the way back to second grade, I can pick out things that have happened throughout my life that prepared me in ways to be blind and I've been put in positions and places with people that have helped me all along to learn what I needed to know at the beginning of your blindness, you know, going to the schools and being able to attend the Braille Institute in California. So I feel very blessed for that time of my blindness. Well, all the time, actually, but that addresses the beginning of it.
So, do you read Braille? Are you an avid Braille reader?
I can read Braille. I don't read contracted Braille real well, but I do have a Perkins Brailler, and I use it in what I call Verlin Braille. It's kind of a combination of grade 1 and grade 2 Braille, but I don't sit here and read Braille, no.
Well, I know in the very beginning of the interview, you mentioned animals and you talked about your little dog. And you also mentioned at one time in your life, you were a groomer. Tell us a little bit about what animals mean to you, Verlin.
What animals moved me? I'm not sure what I heard here.
Tell us a little bit about how animals are important to you.
Oh, okay. Boy, I think they're extremely therapeutic. I have had a dog or a cat in almost all of my life. I have had guide dogs. At one point, I finally got myself a horse, and it was at a time when I didn't realize I was going blind. I could still drive, but I had that horse for 6 months, and when I got rid of the horse, I couldn't really see ahead of me very well. I was relying on the horse to get me back to my home, and so I sold him. But I was glad I had that experience of having a horse. And right now I have a cat that's very sweet and cuddly, and I love animals. I did work as a docent for a zoo when my children were just real tiny. And I did that for 2 years. I would take a mammal, a bird, and a reptile in my car to an elementary school and talk about them and let the kids touch them. And that was a lot of fun. I also went ahead and got a raptor handler license so I could take out the hawk and the falcon.
Oh, how interesting. I bet your kids were very proud of Mom on that note. What about your children, Verlin? How did they deal with their mom having sight loss?
I think it's been kind of hard for them. We haven't spent a lot of time together, but it seems like sometimes they are embarrassed to be guiding me when we go out. And as the years have gone on, I believe our relationship has grown closer. And since they do live so far away, we don't see each other very often, as I mentioned before. But even when I was there, just 20, 30 minutes from their homes, because Brian used to live in the Salt Lake Valley, it was still hard to get together because we all had full-time jobs. Just grateful that we have a loving relationship and talk.
Okay, we're going to move along here. What is the one thing that you remember being in the most trouble for in your life, Verlin? Either with your parents, a teacher, or someone else?
This is going to sound funny. I snuck my father's razor out of the medicine cabinet in his bathroom. And it was one of those kind that you twist the handle and the blade thingy opens up. And I thought, oh, he'll never know. I'll put it back exactly the way I found it. But he could tell because evidently it was dull. And he got after me a couple of times about that. I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get in trouble very often.
Yeah, I would think when he went to shave and he got a couple of little cuts, I bet he did start calling your name, right?
Yeah, he didn't like that. But he was a good dad. All he had to do was give me this dirty look, and I never got spanked. I just knew that I disappointed him, and that was enough for me.
All right, Verlin, we're going to ask the number one question that everybody likes to hear at my interviews. When did you get your first kiss? How old were you? And do you remember who it was and where?
I sure do. It was wonderful. I was 17, and it was that gentleman that went to prom with me. His name is Bill. And he and I had spent a couple days together. He had a basketball tournament that he was in, so we went to that. And then we went to Disneyland. And my grandmother lived real close to Disneyland, so we spent the night at her home. And when we got back, which, oh goodness, I want to say it's a good two-hour ride back up the mountain to my home, our garage had one step up into the house. And I was up that one. He was very tall. He's like 6'2", and I'm 5'2". So I faced him, and he gave me my kiss. That was really neat.
It brings a whole new meaning to eye level, right?
Yes, yes. I'll never forget that moment. That was very nice.
All right, Verlin, have you traveled very much in your life? And if so, where and where have you been?
I really haven't traveled very far. The furthest east I've ever been was St. Louis, Missouri for about an hour. No, I take that back. I went to Chicago for a couple days. But I've been to Vancouver, Canada, and Hawaii, and then I want to say Costa Rica. I don't remember. It was a cruise I took in Mexico. So that's about the extent of it.
Wow, you've been to Hawaii. Was it beautiful like everybody says?
Yes. I feel so blessed to have been able to be there when I could see. And then I was able to return two other times. One when I was able to see just enough to get around, but I was legally blind. And then the last time I was there, I was completely blind. And it's just beautiful. Even as someone who's blind, you can just feel the beauty. Of course, having seen it brought back memories in my mind of what I'd seen before, so that might have some impact. I do not have a sense of smell, but I would just imagine all those beautiful flowers smell wonderful.
Sounds beautiful. That is on my bucket list. Hopefully one day I'll get there. If you could travel anywhere in the world, Verlin, where would it be and why?
Well, now that I don't have sight any longer and I'm older and traveling's difficult on me, I have one place that is on my bucket list that I have not been to, and that is New York City. I think what draws me to want to go there is it's just so different in so many ways. And they have exceptional food from what I've heard and theatrical performances. But a few years back, a lady, by the way, I live in a senior community and independent living, and a lady here who's 100, she recommended that I read a book called Harbinger, that's the correct word. And it was about comparing Isaiah in the Bible to 9/11. Well, one thing led to another, and I just got going on that. It intrigued me, and I read probably five books about 9/11. I'd love to go to the museums and visit that area, just get a feel for just being there and what it's like. Very touching, amazing stories from all different aspects of life that people have written. Firefighters, what do you call those people that do look at the dead bodies? Can't think of the name of them right now. But I just was enthralled with that. And here in town, we have a little fireman museum, and they have a big chunk of one of the towers. And I walked up to it to touch it and just kind of got choked up a bit, realizing that big pieces like that were flying through the air at people and whatnot. So that's why I'd like to go there. I'm scared, though. I would want to go with someone who's big and familiar and sighted and hang on to them for dear life.
I think that's a time that all of America came to a dead stop and took a really hard look at us and realize that we can be touched by the outside world. And that was a terrible tragedy that happened, and so many lost their lives. And I think it would be awesome to actually go to the memorial there also.
I have heard that there is a video of the area, and it's very descriptive. So if I ever find that, I'll be sure to send it to you. The other thing that's notable about that time period of 9/11 is that my husband died 2 weeks prior to that hitting, and he loved to sing patriotic songs, had a beautiful voice, and so that was a very difficult time in more ways than one for me. And I think by going there, maybe would be a way of honoring him in some regard. I don't know how the two are tied together exactly, but he's such a sweet, special man, and I miss him dearly. He's the one who kind of got me interested in dancing.
And mentioning about dancing, tell us a little bit about your interest there, Verlin.
Well, I never really took any lessons until I had moved to Denton. And I was dating a gentleman who was renting a room from a couple that had been taking lessons for quite some time and asked him if he would enjoy doing that. And consequently, he asked me. And I just jumped at the chance. Well, before the class was over, I just could realize that he and I were not going to be dating much longer. I didn't care for him. The class has a volunteer who helps the women who don't have partners or couples that are having difficulty. So my partner, I can't even remember, James, he was having a difficult time catching on to some of the steps. And we'd practice during the week and, you know, no, I'm right, no, you're right. And we'd get back and this volunteer would come and help us out. So I continued to take the classes for 2 years and took country and ballroom. And I learned a little bit of Latin and a little teeny tiny bit of Argentine tango. Now, I haven't done a lot of dancing in the last year. I've kind of put it on the back burner as something to do. But part of that is just not having a constant dance partner because you need to practice what you've been taught. And it, you know, it's time consuming and costly and everything else. So I've decided to put other things as a priority, but I'll still dance occasionally. I was instrumental in bringing a dance floor to our independent living. And so that'll get put out and they'll hire someone to play music every so often. And when we have those, I do go and dance and have a wonderful time.
I as well love to dance, so hopefully you will pick that back up and continue with that, Verlin.
Yeah, that's in the back of my mind. One of these days kind of thing.
Let's step back for just a few minutes, because when we're all growing up as little children or when we're a young girl or a little boy, we always have a dream of what we're going to be when we grow up. What were you going to be when you grew up, Verlin?
When I was little, I wanted to be a first grade. I wanted to be a first grade teacher.
And what was your reasoning for wanting to be a first grade teacher?
I think if someone at that age can be rational about what they're thinking, it was because in kindergarten, we weren't really learning anything. We were playing with clay and going out and playing games on the playground. But in first grade, I was introduced to addition and subtraction. And I remember we all sat on the floor in a circle and shook a jar of cream and made butter and then ate it on soda crackers. So I just thought, oh, I'd love to teach other children these different things, the alphabet, et cetera. So it's a beginning stage. Now, I think they do that in kindergarten these days. But that career never evolved for me due to discouragement from other people.
That's a shame, because I think you would have been an excellent teacher. You're so articulate in your speech and so seem very caring and sweet. And I think you would have made a wonderful first grade teacher.
No, thank you very much. I do too.
Well, we talked a little bit about your dancing. Any other hobbies you have, Verlin? Do you like to read? Any type of sports? What are your hobbies other than dancing?
Well, I absolutely love to research things on the computer. I could spend hours sitting here just going through something, and then you'll come across a link. So, oh, that looks interesting, and that leads to something else, and on and on and on. But I would say, I don't know if you want to call this a hobby or not, I am very, very interested in food and nutrition and health. And so I spend an enormous amount of time on the computer learning more about that. I have type 1 diabetes. I was diagnosed at the age of 5. And so I try to keep abreast of new and ongoing and how many carbohydrates, etc., protein. Right now, I am very, very involved in investigating a lemonade diet cleanse. Some of you may have heard of it. It's known as the Master Cleanse. And I'm having to be rather cautious because of the diabetes. But that's what currently I'm spending a lot of time with.
Awesome. And speaking of food, what is your favorite food and what do you like to cook the most? And if you were going to have us all over to dinner after this interview, what would you feed us?
Oh, my goodness gracious. My favorite food is dark chocolate with something crunchy in it. I'm not too particular about what that might be. I haven't cooked for so long. My cooking is kind of like raw foods and vegetarian stuff in my Vitamix. But I had been able to make a pretty dang good chocolate mousse cake or lemon cheesecake. Spaghetti sauce is pretty dang good. So I don't know. We'd have to think about that. Maybe we could take votes.
No Texas barbecue? I'm disappointed.
No, I'm afraid not. The barbecue I grew up with, where my grandpa basted the ribs on the grill with barbecue sauce the whole time they were cooking, and then they'd get nice and crunchy on the outside, is not what I've come across here in Texas. It's different. They barbecue the food and then put the sauce on it. And not nearly the same. I don't know if any of you went to a Tony Roma's. They had wonderful barbecued ribs that were just like I explained my grandpa had made. So not a big beef eater anymore.
Well, being from the South, I think there's nothing like good old Southern barbecue, but I'm just prejudiced there. Verlin, is there anything in your life that, if you could, you would change it?
I would like to improve my health, and maybe that's one of the reasons I'm investigating this cleanse. I feel as I get older that I slow down, my memory's not as sharp, struggling for words, which I think is rather common in seniors. But I'll tell you what, the people on VIP are very impressive. Maybe that's why I'm so quiet. I don't want to embarrass myself. But yeah, that's what I'd like to see change, is just to be a little bit more energetic and sharp.
And what is the one thing that you are the most proudest of in your life?
That would be my relationship with God. I've kind of faded in and out over my lifetime in that topic. But since I've lived here for the last 6 years, we're a Christian-based living community, I have grown so close to my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, and I can't even tell you how much that means to me. So to be able to get to a point in my life where I am not depressed, feeling like I've got to have a man in my life by my side constantly, I'm just content and calm by myself, and feel like Jesus Christ is my best friend.
What an awesome testimony, Verlin. And He is there. He never leaves us, never.
That is for sure. I'm so glad he's got the perfect knowledge of me and everybody else and everything.
Verland, is there anything that I have not asked you that you would like to share with us about your life?
No, I can't think of anything, but thanks for asking.
Okay, my last question of the evening is, how long have you been part of VIP, and how has VIP changed your life?
It's been about 9 months, and VIP has been like a second family for me, with people who understand and care. As you all know, it's sometimes difficult for other people to understand what it's like to be blind and the technology that we deal with and the patience that and kindness that's shown on VIP is just tremendous. So I greatly appreciate VIP. And while I'm not on here a whole lot, I value it very, very much. And I wish I had more time to be on here, but I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, Verland, speaking for myself, it has been a great pleasure to get to know you. This interview has been absolutely wonderful, has let me see a side of you and that I have not been able to see, and to know just who Verland is. I see you in the Sunday morning service, and I can tell that you're very faithful in your religion. That speaks highly. And you're just a kind, sweet, and sweet, gentle soul. And I'm very proud to have been able to come acquainted with you and to be able to call you my friend.
Oops. Thank you, Teresa. It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate your asking me and getting the ability to let other people know who I am, because I am kind of quiet.
Okay, everybody, we're going to open up the floor to the VIP members at this time to ask Verland any question that you may have or any comment. If you will please key up one at a time, let her answer the question before another person keys up. Okay, who wants to ask the first question?
Very good interview, Verland, and we've talked a number of times and talking about diet and whatnot, because we have several things in common. I'm a diabetic as well, but also my dad was a fireman in New Jersey. When I was a little kid, I remember climbing over the fire engines and blowing the sirens and whatnot, and that was a lot of fun. And the fact that I've been to Hawaii 3 times, and at least I've been to 3 of the islands. And you're right, they are very, very fragrant. As soon as you get off the plane, you can smell the flowers. But the thing that also we have in common that I thought was intriguing is your love of animals, which I share. And I'd like to hear more detail about your experience with falcons and how you worked with them and how you avoided getting cut or wounded or injured from those talons, which are powerful. Can you expand on that a little bit and tell us what your experience was and how it worked out for you?
Well, the falcons, I don't know if they were raised as babies or not to be accustomed to handlers, but we always had a great big thick glove that we wore, and caution, of course. And then there's a stand that is like the shape of a T. So you have to put a leash sort of deal on their feet. And I don't even remember how I got that on there, to tell you the truth. Maybe you kind of lasso it, maybe like put a loop on the ground and have them step into it or something. And then that stand, I'd put it on the passenger seat next to me, and the other animals would go in the back. And I didn't have the falcon fly as a demo in the classrooms. But I, as a child, saw a movie. I think it's called My Side of the Mountain. And the little boy had a falcon that he found and trained and everything to catch meat for him while he was up in the mountains. So it's always fascinated me how they do that.
Very interesting. Thank you, Verlin, for answering Rick's question. Anybody else have a question or a comment?
Well, I don't have any questions. I was going to give her a hard time, but I'll be nice to Verlin. But I really enjoyed it, Verlin, and I feel like I know you much better. And very interesting life.
Verlin, we have something in common also. This is Mar. My name is also a combination of my dad's name and my mom's best friend. My dad's name was Marvin, and my mom's friend's name was Eileen. So I thought that was very interesting.
Transmitting button.
Well, that's neat, Marla. It's good to know, Mark. Now I can't remember your name, but that's interesting to find out that your name is a combination also.
Verlin, I'd like you to tell me more about your grandchildren. I think you said both of your children have babies, so how many do you have?
Carmen chose not to have any children, so she has two Boston Terriers, so I have grand puppies. And then Brian has three boys, and the oldest one is going to be 12 the end of May, and the youngest one will be, oh goodness, I want to say 5 or 6 in July. And don't have a lot of communication with them, but they all seem to love Legos, so that's a gift that they get frequently from me.
I don't think there's a kid in the world that doesn't like Legos, even adults. Anybody else have a question or a comment?
Yeah, this is Allie. I wonder how it was like being a first grade teacher.
Hi, Allie. Yeah, that would have been fun to try that out and teach those little kids. That would have been a fun job.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Anybody else got a question? Verlin, again, I want to thank you so much for accepting the VIP of the month for the month of April. It is well-deserved, and it is great getting to know more about you, and we do hope to see you around the site more frequently when your time allows. And again, thank you. I appreciate you granting me the interview, and I enjoyed doing it so much. Everyone, the VIP of the month for the month of May will be on May 27th, so mark your calendar, May 27th, and it will be our own Tomcat. So mark that on your calendar. It's an interview you will not want to miss. And I always end my interviews with my interviewer's favorite song. And this is Verlin's favorite song that means something to her. So here we go, Verlin, just for you.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.